Welcome to Journal Club for February 9th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Diggs. The vast majority of the papers we discuss are about pushing technology forward. A new way to solve a problem, a new trend in an industry, or a new tool that hasn't found its use case yet. But every once in a while, we come across a paper that is doing the opposite. A paper that's saying, wait, turn around, we're headed in the wrong direction. Today's paper is in that latter group. The authors are making the argument that diffusion models are being misused. They say that diffusion models are being treated as if they're upgraded GANs, but in reality, they're fundamentally different. And that difference makes them unsuitable for some of the use cases to which GANs were being applied. It's an interesting case that they're making, and it gives us an excuse to dive into both GANs and diffusion models, learn how they work, how they're the same, and how they're different. Once we have that foundation, we can examine their argument and try to understand why they're saying that diffusion models should not be used for some specific cases. GANs, generative adversarial networks, came out first, so let's start there. Actually, let's start before that point. Before GANs, generative models relied heavily on variational autoencoders, that's VAEs, and restricted Boltzmann machines. VAEs are a type of probabilistic model. They generate images by compressing existing ones into a simpler representation and then reconstructing them while adding a bit of randomness to make new variations. Boltzmann machines, on the other hand, are energy-based models. They generate images by gradually refining random noise into something that looks like real data through trial and error. What did these approaches have in common? They struggled to create high-quality, realistic images. They did make images, but they were often blurry or noisy. This set the stage for GANs, which approached the problem in a totally different way. GANs frame generative learning as a game between two adversaries, a generator and a discriminator. This approach significantly improved the ability to synthesize realistic images, realistic speech, and many other data types. So let's go into those two terms a little deeper. What exactly do generators and discriminators do? Well, first a little more context. Overall, a GAN is a model that learns to map a random input into data that mimics a real-world dataset. In essence, they are machines that learn the underlying distribution of a dataset without explicit supervision, then generate new samples that resemble the real data they were trained on. The generator and discriminator are the core components that allow them to generate, learn, and get progressively better at generating over time. This is called the actor-critic structure. A generator acts as the actor and attempts to create convincing outputs. The discriminator serves as the critic, evaluating whether a given sample from the generator is real or synthetic. The generator starts with random noise and transforms it into a sample that it hopes will pass for real data. In other words, it is trying to make something so convincing that it will fool the critic into thinking that it came from the original dataset. Meanwhile, the discriminator, the critic, is trained on both real and generated samples and learns to differentiate between the two. These two networks are locked in a zero-sum game. The generator continuously improves at deceiving the discriminator, while the discriminator refines its ability to detect fakes. Over time, this competition forces the generator to produce increasingly realistic samples. Diffusion models came out slightly later than GANs and work differently. Diffusion models learn to generate data by reversing a noise injection process. Given an image, a diffusion model first applies a fixed schedule of noise to gradually destroy the original structure over a series of time steps. Eventually, this transforms it into pure noise. This forward process follows a Markov chain, meaning each step depends only on the previous one. The learning objective, then, is to train a neural network to do the same thing in reverse, that is, predict and remove noise at each step of the reversal process. During generation, the model starts from random noise and iteratively denoises it, following the learned reversal trajectory until it reconstructs a high-quality image. They perform a guided stochastic process where each denoising step refines the output with small corrective updates, almost like watching a camera bring an image into focus. The number of time steps, noise schedule, and conditioning mechanisms all influence the final result. If you're wondering where the textual prompt comes in, that's considered a conditioning mechanism. Now, since we talked about GANs starting from random inputs and diffusion models starting from random noise, it's tempting to think that they're the same thing, that they work in the same way, but resist that urge. Those are only surface-level similarities. Here are some key distinctions. Data transformation. GANs transform noise directly into an image. Diffusion models start with pure noise and iteratively refine it. The learning process. GANs learn through competition between the generator and the discriminator. Diffusion models learn by systematically denoising data. Mathematical foundation. GANs rely on adversarial loss functions, while diffusion models optimize probabilistic likelihoods. Error correction. GANs adjust based on discriminator feedback. Diffusion models gradually reverse a known noise process. And mode coverage. GANs can struggle with diversity, that's mode collapse, whereas diffusion models explicitly model the full data distribution for broader coverage. And the authors of this paper argue that there is one more key distinction: memorization. Diffusion models are far more likely, they argue, to reproduce training images with high fidelity. In other words, you're expecting the diffusion model to spit out a random image that it created, but instead, it can serve you an almost exact copy of one of the images it was trained on. But why would that be the case? The fundamental difference lies in how diffusion models learn to generate images. During training, a diffusion model is directly exposed to the training data at every step, as it learns to predict and remove noise from images. And since it minimizes reconstruction loss, it inherently retains fine-grained details from the training set. This makes diffusion models excellent at producing sharp, high-quality images, but also makes them more prone to memorizing and regurgitating exact training samples. The problem is exacerbated when training data is limited, as the model has fewer examples to generalize from and is more likely to overfit. Additionally, a GANs process encourages diversity because it forces the generator to produce novel outputs that can fool the discriminator, but the diffusion models lack this kind of mechanism. Instead, their denoising objective can unintentionally encourage them to reconstruct near-identical copies of real data, particularly when trained on small or highly structured datasets. This raises significant ethical and legal concerns, especially in applications where data privacy is crucial, such as medical imaging. So that's why the authors in this paper are saying, hold on, everybody, using diffusion models to generate medical images might be a really bad idea. Now let's pause for a moment. You might be asking, why would anyone be generating medical images at all? What's the use case there? So let me explain briefly. Synthetic medical images have a few purposes. Four big ones. One, privacy protection. They allow AI researchers to train models without exposing real patient data, helping to comply with GDPR and HIPAA. Two, dataset balancing. Synthetic images help create more examples of rare conditions, improving AI model performance and generalization. Three, data sharing. They enable collaboration between institutions without violating patient confidentiality. And four, training and validation. Researchers use them to test and fine-tune medical AI systems before deploying them in real-world scenarios. That all sounds well and good. It sounds like diffusion models are actually helping preserve privacy. So what's the issue? The issue is, if a diffusion model memorizes its training data, those quote-unquote synthetic images might actually be near-perfect copies of real patient scans, nullifying the whole point of using generative AI in the first place. And critically, creating a situation where real patient scans are being sent back and forth, being published in open training datasets, and just generally being shared in ways that wholly violate privacy regulations. So, this is the author's claim, but we shouldn't take their word for it. You can't levy this kind of accusation without having some numbers to back you up, right? So let's look at how these authors put their hypothesis to the test to see whether or not they made a compelling case. The authors tested their hypothesis by training two different models, a GAN and a diffusion model, on medical imaging datasets. They focused on two types of data, brain MRI scans and chest x-rays. The goal was to determine whether diffusion models memorize training data more than GANs, so the challenge here was quantifying memorization. To do that, they first generated a set of synthetic images from each model, and then computed each new image's correlation with every image in the training dataset. If a synthetic image closely resembled a training image, it indicated memorization. Given that the generative models are often evaluated using inception distance and inception score, the researchers also computed these metrics, but they emphasized that they did not capture memorization. Instead, the authors relied more heavily on pixel-wise correlation, which directly measures similarity between two images. The results revealed that diffusion models are significantly more prone to memorization than GANs, in this case a style GAN. When trained on the smaller brain MRI dataset, the diffusion model frequently produced images that were nearly identical to specific training samples, with a correlation value as high as 0.985. In contrast, style GAN's highest correlation values were also high, but not that high, 0.93 in the worst case. This is still bad, but the difference between those two numbers holds a great deal of visual difference in the generated images. This trend persisted even when using the larger brain MRI dataset. That being said, memorization was somewhat reduced as the dataset size increased. The issue was also present for chest X-rays, though to a lesser extent. The researchers also found that increasing the number of trainable parameters in the diffusion model could exacerbate memorization, though the effect was not as pronounced for the GAN. Despite achieving lower inception distance scores, meaning better image quality, the diffusion model's synthetic images were often nearly exact copies of real medical scans. So what can we take away from this study? Well, you might be thinking, I don't work with medical images, so this doesn't apply to me. But think again. This research makes it clear that we should all be cautious about diffusion models when it comes to privacy. If you work with generative AI models in any industry that handles regulated data, such as finance or law, or even copyrighted data, like the creative fields, then similar risks apply. Think about a tech startup that is right now training a diffusion model on proprietary content or user-generated content or content they never had permission to scrape or reproduce. Think about what could happen if that model later regurgitates nearly exact copies of that content back out. Sounds like a rat's nest of legal and privacy issues that will probably land all parties in front of a judge. If this research is correct, we all need to be careful, very careful. But like I said, don't take their word for it. Dive into the datasets, replicate their findings yourself, and make your own decision. If you download the paper, you'll find many more details about their methodology and training sets, and you'll have everything you need to make your own call. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.